Act 4, Final Choices. Robert and Emma, best friends since high school, are now in their 30s. Robert is a doctor of oncology and has just finished with the last patient of the day when the receptionist pops her head in.
Hey, Doc.
What's up, Maggie?
I locked up the office and I'm about to leave, but there's a woman in the lobby. She doesn't have an appointment, but she's very insistent on seeing you. She wouldn't give her name or insurance information and said it was personal. What should I do?
She doesn't look crazy or anything, does she?
No, just a little upset.
Send her in, I guess.
Robert?
Emma?
Hi, Robert.
Wow, I mean, hello, it's been a long time. Please, come in.
Thanks.
How long has it been, 5 years?
Almost 10. I missed you at the wedding.
I'm sorry. I was so busy with medical school and then starting a new practice. So are you a lawyer now?
I'm in my last year of law school right now.
Really?
Yeah. Things were kind of tough for a while, financially, especially after I got married, but I managed to find a scholarship.
That's great. You probably have 8 kids by now, too.
Actually, I have 1. 7 weeks pregnant.
Wow. Congratulations. Justin must be thrilled.
Jason, he is. He's actually the reason why I'm here today.
All right. Is everything okay?
Look, I don't want to waste your time.
Emma, you're not wasting my time. What's going on?
You're an oncologist.
Right. I specialize in kidney cancer.
Jason has cancer.
Emma, I'm sorry. Do you need a referral? Does he have a doctor?
3 of them, actually. They say it's untreatable. They've tried everything. Everything. It spreads so fast.
Emma, I'm so sorry. I wish I had known.
I don't know what to do, Robert. I'm sorry, Robert. I shouldn't have come here to you with this. You're busy, and I shouldn't be burdening you with my problems.
Emma, hold on. Where are you going?
Look, it's not fair for me to come to you like this after all this time.
For crying out loud, Emma. It was my fault we didn't keep in touch, not yours. I'm still your friend. Talk to me. How can I help?
That's just it. I don't know if you can.
Who's this doctor?
Klein.
Samuel Klein? I know him. He was actually one of my professors. He's an excellent doctor.
So if he can't help Jason, then you can't do anything.
Of course I can take a look at his charts, but that's not really why you're here, is it?
No. He's had so many different opinions, each one with the same conclusion.
Then what is it?
Well, Jason's tried to be so upbeat, you know? Especially when we found out about the baby. Then we got the news last week that the cancer has spread everywhere. Yesterday we got a letter from our insurance company saying that they're cutting us off.
What do you mean, cutting you off?
Apparently, they have this policy right there in the fine print that if your diagnosis is less than 3 months to live, they stop paying for everything. Hospital visits, experimental therapies, drugs, everything. Except
what?
Suicide.
What are you talking about?
Physician-assisted suicide was just legalized here a few months ago.
I'm aware of that, but what does that have to do with Jason? They can't force him to commit suicide.
Once they found out that the doctors are giving Jason only a few weeks to live, they sent that letter. It says they won't pay for any more treatment, but they'll pay for his assisted suicide drugs if he wants to kill himself. It's so unbelievably cruel and disgusting and inhuman. I mean, they won't pay for him to live, but they'll pay for him to die? What's the matter with people, Robert?
He's not gonna do it, is he?
Yes, he is.
Why?
He's gone from really optimistic to highly depressed, Robert. Just like that. I mean, who wouldn't when they find out you've only got a few weeks to live? He's not seeing anything clearly anymore. His whole perspective has changed. He's scared, he's confused and depressed. And then he gets this letter. It's like the entire human race has completely rejected him. Nobody wants you around anymore, so why don't you just kill yourself? We'll even pay for it as a parting gift. I shouldn't have come to you with this.
Why do you keep saying that?
Because I don't want to ask you to do something that I don't think you'll be comfortable doing.
Wait, you don't want me to write the prescription?
No.
What then?
I need someone he'll listen to. Someone other than me to tell him that he doesn't need to kill himself. That his life is worth living. That there are still important reasons for him to stay here. That there's still faith and hope and love. And the cancer can't take those things away from him. Unless he lets it.
So you want someone to talk to him? You want me to talk to him?
I know it's crazy, Robert, but...
Why do you think I wouldn't be willing to do that?
I just assumed that you
That I wouldn't want to keep someone from committing suicide?
I didn't think you'd see it that way.
Emma, you haven't changed much since high school. You think you know me, but you really don't. I didn't vote for assisted suicide, and I wouldn't ever let it be a part of my practice. I'd be happy to talk to Justin.
Jason,
sorry. I think I should talk to him alone. Can he come tomorrow after the office closes?
Yes, that would be great. Thank you, Robert.
It's the following day, and Robert and Jason meet in Robert's office after hours. Jason is thin and looks uncomfortable in his seat. Robert leans against the edge of his desk.
Thanks for coming in, Jason. Emma thought it would be helpful if we talked.
Sure, no problem.
Can I get you something to drink?
Nope, I'm fine. Nice office. But you get a lot of dead guys in here, huh?
Emma tells me you two are expecting a baby. Congratulations. Do you know if it's a boy or a girl?
So, what are you? Another cancer doctor?
Yes, I specialize in kidney cancer. I'm assuming that since you've been seeing Dr. Klein, you have lung cancer?
Look, Doc, being as I don't have a whole lot of time left, can we just skip the small talk and cut to the chase here?
Okay. Do you mind if I sit down?
Nope. So, my guess is that Emma told you that I'm thinking about checking out early.
Yes, she did.
And you're supposed to tell me that everything's going to be okay and I should stick around and, you know, see how it all plays out.
Well, according to your doctors, everything's not going to be okay. You're dying. But you're not dead yet.
Might as well be. Look, I'm here because Emma wanted me to come. I don't want to hurt her. I really don't. She's been the light of my life, man, and I love her. But I'm the one with cancer. And quite frankly, I'm not too keen on the whole idea of ending up flat on my back in a hospital bed, hooked up to machines with tubes sticking out of every part of my body, screaming in agony, because the two of you think I shouldn't kill myself. That's not exactly the way I want to go.
Jason, the law already allows you to withhold or withdraw any medical treatment you don't want. Nobody has to be hooked up to machines against their will.
That's not what happens on television.
Right. That's television. In the real world, people understand that sometimes medical treatment doesn't make sense anymore. When your body is dying and it becomes too burdensome for you to continue treatment, you have the moral and legal power to say no more.
Okay, so tell me this. What happens if I don't die right away? I'm just supposed to waste away in agonizing pain so that you can feel good that I didn't commit suicide?
Well, this isn't about me. And no, you don't have to waste away in pain. It's a big myth that you have to suffer agonizing pain when you're dying. It isn't true, Jason. We can eliminate virtually all pain. And in the few rare cases where we can't totally eliminate it, proper treatment can control it to the point where it's no longer unbearable.
So let me get this straight. What you're telling me is I'll be a vegetable, all drugged up.
No, that's another misconception. Modern palliative care
Okay, English, please.
Palliative care is comfort care at the end of life. With modern advances in pain control, comfort care is a precise art. If you have doctors who know what they're doing, you can get pain relief while still being very conscious and free of nausea and most side effects.
So, okay, tell me this. How am I supposed to get doctors to even know what they're doing when my insurance company cut me off?
What your insurance company did to you should be illegal. I talked to some colleagues of mine about it. They've had patients who've received the same letter as you. You don't seem like the kind of guy who would normally give up this easily. If you're interested, some of us are thinking about filing a lawsuit.
You know what? Look, I'm not interested in fighting anymore. I just want this to end, man. I'm not one of the lucky ones who will get the kind of care you're even talking about. Emma's in law school, and I'm obviously not working anymore. We're broke, and we've got a kid on the way. How am I supposed to pay for this?
Jason, the letter from your insurance company was talking about withdrawing payment for treatment that could extend your life. They'll still probably pay for your palliative care. And even if they don't, hospice is not expensive, and neither is good pain medication. You would probably qualify for state and federal assistance, and there are some organizations that will provide you with comfort care free of charge if all else fails.
So if that's true, then why didn't Klein tell me this?
Klein is a good lung cancer specialist. He's cured a lot of cases that other doctors couldn't, but many doctors have never had a course in pain management. He's probably not aware of what's available today. I can help you find a good doctor who can treat your pain and your depression, Jason.
Look, why would you even care? Man, you didn't even come to the wedding. You broke her heart.
I care because your life is worth living, Jason.
Says who?
Emma. And I do too. And so does God. I'll bet the rest of your family and friends would say so too if you'd give them a chance. Every human life is worth living, Jason. That's something I learned from your wife.
This isn't living. I've lost everything. My job, my savings. I've lost my driver's license. You know, I can't even run anymore or play golf or take Emma hiking in the mountains. Next, I won't be able to walk anymore. And then I won't be able to lift my head off the pillow, and people will have to bathe me and feed me and help me in the bathroom. How is that any kind of life?
What were you living for before you got sick? Was it playing golf? Is that really what made life worth living before you had cancer? Your hopes and dreams were all about being able to run and hike and feed yourself?
You don't get it, man. It's over. I don't have any hope left. I don't have any more dreams. I don't have control over anything.
Yeah, you do. You have control over the most important things of all now, Jason. Look, I'm not gonna try to whitewash it. I've seen death before. You will become physically weaker. You will need others to do the simple everyday tasks you used to do by yourself, but your greatest control lies in your ability to choose what you will live for in the last days of your life. Are you gonna hang on to golf, really? Or are you going to choose to live for love, for faith, for hope, for family and friendships and the wisdom and goodness that you can still bring into this world in ways that you couldn't before? Yeah, you'll need someone else to brush your teeth and wash your hair, but when you are flat on your back in bed with only days left to live, the world will need you more than you will need the world.
What do you mean?
I mean that you can make a final choice to do the most selfish thing and kill yourself because you're grieving the things you've lost, or you can make a final choice to do the most generous thing you've ever done in your life and let the people who love you serve you. What you think is a weakness is really the greatest strength you've ever had. You have the power to move other people to compassion and love.
Because I'm dying?
Yeah, because you're dying. I'm not saying it's an easy choice. It's going to require a lot of patience, humility, and generosity on your part to let people in like that. But maybe, Jason, maybe that's where you'll find the best part of life. Maybe you haven't even lived real life until now. Either way, you are in control. You can seize that opportunity and grow deeper in faith and love, or you can waste it and throw away the best chance you'll ever have to really experience life. If you give it a chance, the last weeks of life can become more meaningful, more full, more profound, and more positive than all the years before your illness.
I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I don't want to be afraid anymore. I want to live again. And how do I know she's not going to abandon me?
Who? Emma?
Yeah.
Because Emma sees God in you. And Emma would never abandon God.
At home in their backyard, Emma sits on a bench with Jason in a wheelchair next to her. He's weak and frail, but alert and free of pain.
Are you comfortable, Jason?
Yeah, I am. Thank you.
Can I get you anything?
No, I'm fine.
I can rub your legs.
That's okay.
How about if I read to you?
Emma, just listen for a minute. It's not going to be long now.
I know.
And it's okay. I'm going to be okay.
I know you are.
You didn't give up on me, Em.
You don't have to do this.
It's important. I never really told you how grateful I am to you. When I was really depressed, the thought of asking Dr. Klein to give me a suicide pill, it seemed so easy. And you have no idea how making it legal totally messed with my head.
I understand, Jason. I do.
I never would have thought about killing myself before it was legal for doctors to help you do it. But suddenly it's legal and the doctors are all talking about suicide like it's just another medical option. And you're so swallowed up in grief and confusion that it seems like everyone thinks you're just supposed to do it. The pressure was insane, Em. People think it's just an option, but it's not. It's an enormous burden to put on people who are already really vulnerable, and if it wasn't for you, Em, I wouldn't be here right now.
I'm so grateful for you.
I would have missed so much if I had just chosen to end it. And I know it sounds ridiculous to say this, but the last few weeks, they've been the best and the most important weeks of my entire life. I don't deserve you, Em.
You deserve better than me, baby.
Well, the only thing better than you is God. And apparently, he agrees with you on that one.
Are you okay?
I'm sorry. I couldn't have been a better husband for you.
You're a great husband.
And I'm sorry I won't be here for our baby, but promise me that you'll find someone else after I die.
Jason, please don't.
Emma, the only thing worse than the thought of being without you is the thought of you being alone and our baby being without a father. So promise me you'll at least think about it.
I'll try.
But not till after I'm gone.
Sweetheart, I'm not going anywhere. I love you, and I'm here to the very end.
Okay. Okay.
Six months later, Robert sits in the same pizzeria he and Emma used to go to in college. The same waitress, now 10 years older, approaches with piping hot platter of pizza. She sets it before Robert, who looks a bit nervous, and stares at him for a moment.
It's not all for me. I'm meeting a friend here.
Whatever you say, hon.
What I want to know is, how do you always manage to get this booth?
That's funny. What I want to know is, how do you always time it where you come in right after the pizza is delivered?
You try walking here when you're 9 months pregnant, pal. Robert, I want to thank you for being there for me these last several months, for helping me with the funeral and helping me with Jason's things. I mean, for just being there when I needed a friend. I couldn't have asked for anything more.
You would have done the same for me.
You saved his life, Robert. You saved mine, too. I don't know what I would have done if he had, ended it early. It would have been such a waste because those last few weeks, we both grew so much. It was amazing how just hearing you tell him that his life was worth living made all the difference.
I don't think most doctors realize the power they have. Dr. Klein's suggestion that assisted suicide was an option was totally crushing to Jason. I've seen it happen several times in patients who come to me for a second opinion. To someone who's dying, the suggestion that your doctor can legally help you end your life hits you like a nuclear blast. It just makes it seem like you're supposed to kill yourself. I don't think people realize the number of victims this new law is creating. People like Jason, who don't have the support and encouragement that he had. I mean, you're his rock, Emma. Without you, my words wouldn't have meant as much.
It wasn't easy. And back near the end, it was really difficult. But you know what the last thing he said to me was? He looked at me and said, "It was worth every minute. I want to be like him someday."
Well, here's your chance. I told Jason this, but I didn't want to tell you until I had some of the pieces in place. I've gotten a group of my colleagues together. We're working with a law firm to sue insurance companies that are doing what yours did to Jason.
Are you serious?
It gets better. It'll take months to put the case together, and the firm could use your help. You're smart, and with what you and Jason went through, you'd be an incredible resource. So after you've had the baby and while you're finishing law school, they'll give you a paid internship.
But the baby?
Already talked to your mom. She said her door is wide open for childcare, and the law firm said you could work part-time if you like.
Robert, that's amazing! Thank you.
You're welcome. I would do anything for you, Emma. Anything.
Jason would be so happy.
I think he is happy. And I think he wants you to be happy, too.
He lived, Robert. He really lived. I mean, he wasn't happy about dying and leaving me and the baby behind, but he knew that he was filling up every minute God gave him with faith and hope and love. That conquered the cancer for him.
Emma, there's something I want to talk to you.
I'm so thankful for you, Robert. I feel like all the time we've spent together has made up for the 10 years we didn't see each other at all.
10 years, 4 months, and 5 days.
What?
It was 10 years, 4 months, and 5 days. Exactly.
Was it really?
Yeah.
You were counting? You said you got caught up with medical school and that you were busy starting your practice, which I thought was a pretty lame excuse, by the way, but how do you know exactly how many days it was that we didn't see each other? How can you know something like that but never pick up the phone and say hi?
I didn't want to get in your way, Emma.
Get in my way?
For heaven's sake. It's too distracting in here. Come with me.
Where are we going?
Outside, where we can talk.
But the pizza! Robert, I'm hungry!
Good grief, Emma, you're as big as a boat. You're not going to starve to death.
Look, they're taking it away.
But you just listened to me. You never listened to me.
I got a baby to feed, you know.
Emma, I love you!
Wait, what? What are you saying?
Emma, you're impossible. I'm talking about you and me. I mean, I already lost you once because I was too shy and dumb to ever say anything. To tell you what I really felt, I'm not gonna lose you again over a stupid piece of pizza.
You love me? You mean that way?
For crying out loud, Emma, yes, I love you! That way! I always have and I always will.
Why didn't you ever tell me?
I wanted to so many times. You always said you liked me as a friend, and I was afraid to tell you I wanted more. I always wanted more.
You're a real jerk!
What?
You totally swept me off my feet in high school, and you didn't even bother to give me the slightest hint that you felt the same way about me? And then for 10 years you don't even talk to me, and now you're actually bringing this up in the middle of a sidewalk outside a stupid pizza joint when I'm hot and sweating and big and fat with a 9-month-old baby in my stomach and pizza sauce on my blouse. Are you being for real?
Yes, Emma. I'm being for real. I want to be with you. Like, date you on a date. Like, when people date each other.
So you mean this is supposed to be our first date?
I guess, yeah.
At a college pizza joint.
I mean, we could go somewhere else.
I just have one question. Are you the kind of guy who would kiss a girl on a first date?
No! I mean, yes, I... Well, not if you didn't. Wait, what was the question? I didn't know you could...
Kiss like that? Robert, there's a lot about me you don't know. So I guess we're even.
If I order you another pizza, will you let me take you on a walk? We could just talk.
Walking? Not so good. But I'd love to talk. I could talk to you for hours. Maybe even days.
How about the rest of your life?
One step at a time, Robert.